Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. And thank you for helping me celebrate my 17th anniversary, the 17th anniversary of this broadcast. And we couldn't have done it without our good friend Wally Bach. Wally joined me within 3 weeks, in the first 3 weeks of my show. Wally Bach was on here, and we were talking about, I don't remember what we talked about, but it was interesting, I promise you, because Wally's always interesting. He's the author of Net Income and other books. He helps a lot of people these days write their books, but today he's got a little something different he wants to talk to us about. Wally Bach, 97 model, thanks for being here.
As I told you off air, it's better than the 46 model. Yeah. I was right up until then.
Exactly. That's back when they still made Hudsons, wasn't it? Something like that.
Yes, as a matter of Packers. Fact, they did.
And Packers. Don't forget Packers. Hey, Wally, thanks, sir. Thanks for all this time and for all the support over the years. You've been a steadfast supporter.
One thing we know for sure is that way back then, you didn't have any better taste than you do now.
Exactly. Yeah. You'd think I would go up a little bit, wouldn't you? Upscale a little bit, but no, I stick with my friends, no matter how rude they may be.
Yeah, lucky for me.
Exactly. Hey, Wally. One of the things that you've got recently, you've been writing and thinking and talking about something I think is really valuable for folks to listen to, and that is different ways of thinking about how you talk to your people, how you talk to your team members, how you engage them, how you keep them engaged, and how you move through a project or the workday in a way that's more productive. And talk to us about that.
Well, let me say first that you asked me about a blog post that I wrote called Questions, Praise, and Consequences. And I think that's going to be good, but I think it's also important to put it in context. What you've got to do as a boss, whether it's virtual or physical, is you've got to show up a lot. Mm-hmm. And when you show up a lot, you have to have conversations with your people. And if you don't do that, no technique is going to help. Because if you don't have a relationship, and relationships build through conversations, then anything I say or anybody else says about a technique or this or that is gone, because you won't have the trust or comfort levels you need.
And when you say show up, you don't mean coming to work every day and going into your CEO's office and staying there. That's not what you mean. you mean MBWA, management by walking around, right?
That's what we used to call it out of the old Hewlett Packard stuff. But it means touching base with people. It means learning that, you know, some people want you to come and spend time with them every day, and some people just want you to let them know that you know they're there and then leave them alone so they can do their work. But that's where it all starts. If you don't do that, the techniques don't work, because you don't have comfort and you don't have trust, and you need both of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So once you do that, you can start talking about, well, how do I talk to people?
Can I throw something else in there? You also
you can throw
said
whatever you want.
I like what you said about showing up, and the thing that I that people need to realize, CEOs need to realize, is that if you only show up every 6 months, then it does make it difficult for you to go have a conversation with them. You do feel like you've got to spend some time with them. You can't just blow in and blow out in 30 seconds every 6 months. But if you make it
then you become what I call the idiot from corporate.
Right, exactly. But if you do it on a regular basis, maybe at least once a month, depending on how big your operation is, and touch base with people as you wander through, not necessarily the same people, just whoever's there as you wander around,
mm-hmm.
those conversations don't have to be long. Hey, John, how's it going? Everything all right? Okay, I see, you know, just want to check on you guys. That could be all you have to do. But my point is, the longer you stay away, the harder it is going to be for you to go back.
Mm-hmm. And frankly, for most of the people that I write for, which is bosses at every level, for most of those, there's not a lot of people. I mean, they're not CEOs of the organization.
No.
They're, you know, police sergeants, and they're shop floor supervisors, and they're middle managers that have got 8-10 people that they work with. And, you know, frankly, that's your job. Your job is working with the people. Mm-hmm. It's not anything much more dramatic than that. And, you know, we know some ways about how to do it, but it all starts with showing up. If you don't show up,
mm-hmm.
and that's, by the way, when I studied top-performing supervisors, and this is now like 30 years ago, that was the number one thing that they did in common. They all showed up a lot. And I know virtual, it's a little different, but can I throw something this year in here that's different? I'm working on a book with Rod Santomassimo, who's a great commercial real estate coach, and it's about teams. And one of the things we're finding is that the great teams that we identified, that Rod identified, so we could go through and put this thing together, is that hardly any of them have virtual team members. Hmm. They all think that face-to-face is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of them have virtual contractors.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're talking about...
like the technology people or something like that.
Yeah, or somebody who's doing, you know, the email newsletter stuff somewhere else.
Right.
But the people that they count on as part of the team, those people, they all want to see face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's interesting. I think it's one of the good things that's going to come out of that book.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what I've said for a long time, face-to-face is the original social media.
Actually, it's still the best form.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, I have virtual relationships. I have a lot of virtual relationships. But you and I have a virtual relationship.
I was going to say, even though we have met, and
now that we've met, you know, I kind of like the virtual relationship. But anyway, no, I agree with you 100%. So okay, when we come back, there's some ways to engage with those people when you show up, and I'm glad we spent some time on the showing up thing, because that you know, we sort of drilled down into what that means, showing up. When we come back, I'm going to get Wally to talk to us about some specific conversational skills that you can use to help you engage and get the most out of the MBWA, that get the most out of face-to-face, get the most out of showing up. Wally, I need your website quickly, please.
This one is www.3starleadership.com.
3starleadership.com. Also, writing a book with Wally.com. Quick break. 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us.
Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
If you're a business owner, who can you trust to stand shoulder to shoulder with to help your company prosper? Hello friends, Jim Nance here. I have seen firsthand the role trust plays in team performance. And now you can have your own business performance advisor to help your company reach your goals. For more than 25 years, Insperity has helped thousands of America's best businesses succeed by putting high performance HR and business solutions to work. Your Insperity Business Performance Advisor starts with the specific needs of your company and tailors a customized solution to unleash your business potential. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your Insperity Business Performance Advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened in the history of the marketplace. This is Jim Blassingame, and I want to tell you about an emerging new age, the age of the customer. For 10,000 years, businesses operated with age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But that age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that convey control from you to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're using age of the seller practices when customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make this transition from old practices to the ones that will help you meet those new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. That's ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blassingame, and I wrote this book for you. Little Stevie Ray bringing us back, 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure. I'm Jim Blassingame, and I am the Small Business Advocate, and have been now for 17 years as of this week. And we're celebrating the broadcast of our show 17 years ago this week. We began, and soon after that, our good friend Wally Bach joined us. Within 3 weeks, Wally's here again now. He's been with us ever since. He's not just an original founding member, folks. He is the original founding member. He's the longest term member of our Brain Trust. You're the granddaddy, Wally. After 17 years, I think you're the great granddaddy.
I don't know about the great part.
You're the somewhat great granddaddy.
Somewhat great granddaddy.
Wally Bach, ladies and gentlemen, writing a book with Wally. Check that out. He helps people get their books out of their heads, out of their gut, onto something, onto digits or paper or whatever your pleasure
into
is.
Into some form that will help them with their life and career.
Yeah, exactly. And it works, folks. Trust me. I know about that. And Wally does, too. So check that out. Writing a book with Wally. But we're not talking about that right now, folks. We're talking about something else. Also, my own websites. By the way, my website is a little more than 17 years old. Since October of 97, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And the newer one for my book, ageofthecustomer.com. Wally, three things that you recommend. We talked earlier about engaging employees, showing up, being face to face with them on a regular basis, even if you're just walking through. Hey guys, how's it going? Everything okay? Good. I'll see you later. You know, even if it's just that, let them see your front side and your backside. You have three things that you think people ought to have in mind when they go through that process.
Well, I think. If you're going to have regular conversations, have regular conversations. Some of them will be about work. That's good. It all builds relationships. The tough one is the one where you've got to talk to somebody about something that didn't work out right, that they did wrong or that they made a mistake in. And I think the most important thing to remember there is that people pretty much know when they've screwed up. Mm-hmm. They don't need you to tell them. But if you tell them, what you do is you make their defensive shields go up.
Mm-hmm.
So you're better off using some kind of what I call a non-judgmental question, because I've worked with bosses who use their question as a way of saying you screwed up. You don't want to be saying you screwed up. They know it.
Mm-hmm.
Let them go that way and say something like, why do you think that happened?
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's something they're thinking about doing, instead of telling them what to do, say, well, what do you think will happen if you do that, or what do you think you can do?
Tell me how did this get started? Where were we stuck? My favorite, Wally, and this is, I think, is the most powerful question to put an end to ask at the very end of all this. What did we learn?
Yeah, if you have something that doesn't work, it pays to look at it so you don't do it the same way again. Mm-hmm. And if something did work, it pays to look at it to see if there's something there you can replicate. But the stuff that I'm talking about, that's what my mother used to do to me.
Mm-hmm. My
mother was not much of a lecturer, but she was a great question asker.
One thing that many of us have had happen, where we lurched to the conclusion that it's some employee screwed up, and we start holding court and indicting people, come to find out what the reason that things got messed up was something that I did. it turned out it was my fault. I didn't follow up on something they told me about. I didn't, whatever it was, and so
or I wasn't clear in my direction. I didn't give them.
Yeah.
Resources. Yeah.
If you go storming in there and ask questions and then you get to hear, well, boss, if you remember, we told you about this. Oh yeah. Okay, guy, my bad. I'll see you later. you step into the trap. So anyway, go ahead, Wally.
Well, I think you start with questions are good. I think there's two other things to pay attention to. One is that you don't have to wait for perfect performance to praise people.
Mm-hmm.
You can praise effort. You can praise improvement. There's a lot of things that you can do to help people keep moving in the right direction, because that's what praise does. It helps people keep moving in the right direction.
Well done doesn't mean expect a little extra money in your paycheck this week. It just means well done.
No, and in fact, there have been some interesting studies that say that when it does, it's less effective.
Right. Right.
That social support, social praise are much more powerful.
Well done. Good job. Way to go. Things like that.
Yeah, look at what Tom did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a wonderful story about Sam Walton years ago wandering through a Walmart store and seeing this young clerk folding sweaters on a display. And he asked her if he could help, and she said yes, and he showed her how to fold sweaters, and then she folded a bunch of them. And I love this part. Then he called everybody over to say, look at that so-and-so here who's folding sweaters just exactly the way you should do it. Now you show them. and had her go through it.
That's a great story.
But that's the key to all of this.
Mm-hmm.
You can, most people want to do a good job. The ones that don't, you get rid of.
Yeah.
Most people try to do a good job. Everybody screws up, including you.
And you know what, Wally? I can remember decades ago, when a boss praised me for almost nothing, I still remember him saying that. I know his name. I remember where it happened, and I mean, things, they stick in your head, don't they?
They do. But the others do too.
Yeah, that's true. The bad ones. Hey, Wally, thanks for being here. Give us both websites quickly, please.
Book website is writingabookwithwally.com.
And the other one? What's the other one?
Three-star leadership.
There you go. It's not this hard, Wally. Yeah. Quick break. Stay with me.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened before in the history of the marketplace. Hi, this is Jim Blasingame, and I want to tell you about a new age that's emerging right now, the age of the customer. Until recently, you've run your business with 10,000-year-old age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But the original age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that are conveying control from your business to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're going to market with age of the seller practices when your customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make the transition from old practices to new ones that will allow you to meet these new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blasingame. Thanks for listening.
Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like,
go to bplans.com. That's BPLANS.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
If you run a business, you know your financial results are directly linked to the performance of your people. Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. Every team wants to operate at peak performance, and now you can with the proven workforce optimization solution from Insperity. This powerful combination of HR and business solutions is the most comprehensive business performance offering in the marketplace, delivering administrative relief, better benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity. And since your business is like no other, this solution is customized to fit your unique company needs. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your Insperity Business Performance Advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened in the history of the marketplace. This is Jim Blassingame, and I want to tell you about an emerging new age, the age of the customer. For 10,000 years, businesses operated with age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But that age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that convey control from you to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're using age of the seller practices when customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make this transition from old practices to the ones that will help you meet those new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. That's ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blassingame, and I wrote this book for you.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... And you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blassingame.
I am the smart. I am the smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day on this, our anniversary week of the Small Business Advocate Show. 17 years we're celebrating, and we're doing it almost entirely with people who've been with us since the beginning, our original founding members of our Brain Trust, which includes our good friend and our guest this half hour, Bert Folsom. Burton W. Folsom is the author of so many books, books that are still, that have been out for a while, that are still selling, many of them, and including two new ones, New Deal or Raw Deal, and that's the one on the history of Franklin Roosevelt, President Roosevelt, and then the follow-up to that, FDR Goes to War, which is the one he co-authored with Anita Folsom, the beautiful and highly intelligent Anita Folsom. And he's the resident historian in the Brain Trust, teaching history at Hillsdale College in Michigan. He's our good friend, Bert Folsom. Welcome back to the show.
Jim, good to be with you on this 17th anniversary week.
Yeah, how about that?
Well, I remember when we first got together after I wrote an article on minimum wage for the Wall Street Journal.
Yep.
You called
yep.
me up and we started interviewing.
Absolutely, I wanted to know what you had to think. And you've taught it. You've been my baseline for my understanding of and my arguments that I have made against raising minimum wage. In fact, against the concept of minimum wage. I've
right.
used your historical, the groundings of your historical facts that you gave us back in those days. For years, I've used that in my writing and on my show and in face to face discussions with other people about it. I've appreciated that very much. Bert, one of the things I want you to do real quick here in this segment is I want you to put in perspective the most recent election, the midterm, the second midterm election of President Obama. As I wrote in one of my articles, it's never the second midterm election, with the exception of Bill Clinton, has always been an unfortunate event for the president's party in office, the president, whichever party the president belonged to. But you wrote an article recently that that had a comparison all the way back to 1938. Talk to us about that.
Right, you are right on the Clinton case. His is an exception, but remember that Clinton, in the midterm before the one he made a slight gain, that they lost over 50 seats. Mm-hmm. Some of that was recapturing some seats that were lost. But the article I compare to in my blog is the Franklin Roosevelt election after he was in office for 6 years. He lost 80 seats in the House, over 80 seats, and 8 Senate seats. It looks like about 8 Senate seats, maybe even 9, are what the Democrats are going to lose. And in both cases, there was a lot of hubris that went into that. Roosevelt tried to pack the Supreme Court and had shown a desire to really increase the federal government. That was being resisted by Congress, and the Supreme Court resisted it by knocking down a couple of his programs, the AAA for Agriculture and the National Recovery Act. Struck both of them down. The National Recovery Act, by a 9-0 vote, they struck down. And Roosevelt was retaliating by trying to pack the court, and the voters sent a very clear message in that election. President Obama also has much executive overreach, and that's been unpopular, and we see more coming perhaps with the immigration bill. In any case, this midterm was a debacle for the Obama campaign.
Let me ask you a question. In 1938, this is really a great example, a way to compare these two presidents. In 1938, after his midterm that you just related, do you think President Roosevelt got the message from the voters?
Well, not really, and that's the problem here, is that there isn't a lot of creative juice sometimes to understand one's failings.
Yeah.
But all of us have this issue. Jim, you see it in business a lot, that people will go with the same business plan. You were talking about that in the age of the customer.
Well, it's right. It's hidebound.
Yeah. It's not hidebound. The age of the seller as much as the age of the customer.
Yeah.
And Roosevelt and Obama both, for whatever reasons, had trouble pivoting from that. They wanted to believe that it was a fluke, that the Republicans...
Right. So Roosevelt, even in those days, Roosevelt had the same disease that President Obama seems to have right now, and that is not realizing that denial is not just a river in Egypt.
Yes, and Roosevelt said, Jim Farley, his Postmaster General, recorded this in a book he wrote. He said, if Roosevelt came into the cabinet meeting, we were all expecting some kind of change of course. And he said, no.
Go ahead, quickly.
But, he said, no, this is all the elections were the result of local circumstances.
Sounds like, boy, some things keep repeating themselves, don't they, ladies and gentlemen? Quick break, stay with me.
If you are a CEO, you know success is a matter of getting the right players in the right roles with the right goals. Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. Every coach is looking for the right combination to take their team to the next level. And now you can find the right solution for your business from Insperity. More than 100,000 companies are using Insperity high-performance HR and business solutions. From recruiting, employment screening, and retirement services, to time and attendance, organizational planning, as well as performance and expense management. Or to move your company ahead as far and as fast as possible, ask about our workforce optimization solution. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your business performance advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click,
Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's BPLANS.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened before in the history of the marketplace. Hi, this is Jim Blasingame, and I want to tell you about a new age that's emerging right now, the age of the customer. Until recently, you've run your business with 10,000-year-old age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But the original age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that are conveying control from your business to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're going to market with age of the seller practices when your customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make the transition from old practices to new ones that will allow you to meet these new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blasingame. Thanks for listening.
Sing for the year, sing for the laugh, and sing for the tear. Sing with me now, just for today, maybe tomorrow, do it out and take it away. Sing with me.
Welcome back, 17 till the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. We're still rock and rolling here on the Small Business Advocate Show, and it's our 17th anniversary. We're celebrating a little bit extra obnoxious this week because of the anniversary, celebrating this milestone, encouraging you to celebrate your own milestones. And we're having a great visit with Bert Folsom, another 98 model. He's an original founding member of our Brain Trust, professor of history at Hillsdale College, author of so many books, so many important books, folks, that have amazing reviews by the best reviewers in the world. And he's with us right now. Bert, thanks again for being here. We're talking about the midterm election and how things, the politics of all that. Bert, one of the things I want you to talk about is what the president is about to do. He's promised to do, and that is to basically, through executive order, do something that the Constitution says only Congress can do. And that is change the nationality or change the legal status through one way or another of millions of currently illegal immigrants. The people who are here, undocumented immigrants, they're here illegally. They're working. This has nothing to do with whether they're good people or not. They're just not here legally. And he's talking about through executive order, because he doesn't like the pace of the Congress, the speed of the Congress, and he's probably not going to like what the Republicans give him next year. He's going to preempt them and do something that I think is unconstitutional. What do you think?
Well, it is. The president's job is to, according to the Constitution, is to enforce the laws of the land, and that is where executive orders come from. That there are times that to enforce the laws of the land, the president has to take a particular action, and that's considered an executive order to enforce a law that Congress has already passed. But in this case, the president would be making laws unilaterally. He said so on many occasions that he can't deal with.
Well, he has experience in this, right? He's already done quite a bit of this. Of these executive orders, and other people have compared his executive orders to other executive orders, the executive orders of other presidents, by sheer number. President Bush did more than President Obama did, but to me, the number is not as important as the impact of them. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Because see, if Congress passes a law saying that we need to take land in Alaska out for public parks, mm-hmm. and Obama then specifies through executive order that the boundaries should be here, here, and here, that is not nearly in the same scale as unilaterally making legal 4 to 5 million immigrants who are here mm-hmm. illegally and who have not gone through the immigration process properly.
Well, and here's the rub, in my opinion. He says that the Senate has passed a bill, an immigration bill, that the House won't take up. Well, the House has passed a bill that the Senate won't take up. So it's he, you know,
the House has passed 300 and some
right.
bills that the Senate won't take up.
That's exactly right. So because now he won't wait 6 months to let the current, the new Congress, 114th, I think it is, Congress, do their will on immigration and let them work with them. Maybe work, how about working with them to develop something that can be done and everybody, a bipartisan type of thing. Instead of doing that, he's going to go it alone in a very cynical way and do this executive order that is unconstitutional, could be struck down by the Supreme Court. Because of just on the constitutional point, let alone anything else, and instead of just waiting, now that is an ideologue thing to do. That is a nonpartisan thing to do. That is a dictatorial thing to do, isn't it? Isn't it, Bert?
Absolutely. He had 2 years to work with immigration in his first years.
They could.
He had both houses.
Yeah.
Wouldn't do it then. And as you say, in 6 months, the Republicans will have something put together. But it's a delicate subject. It's not one that you can do ham-handedly. He has. We have to secure the borders, for example, and then you have
right.
alien immigrants who are over here,
mm-hmm.
and you have to deal with the guest worker program, and you have to deal with some who are criminals and on welfare,
mm-hmm.
and some who are here working. Well, most Americans have much more sympathy to the ones who are here working and are here with their parents or with children, as opposed to people who come over and are on welfare or are receiving medical aid from hospitals and are using the services without contributing to society. There's a difference. And Obama, it's not clear whether he's going to make any kind of distinction between these immigrants. It's important to him, it seems, that he get the Hispanic vote. And
this is 100% a political move. That's the reason why it's so cynical. And there's no leadership in it at all. It's a way of taking. He's willing to violate the Constitution to get political gain on his end.
Well, that's what he's going to try to do. But he's tone deaf because of the midterm elections.
But now we're back to what we were talking about in the last segment about whether the president believes the results of the election the way Franklin Roosevelt did not believe that the same thing in 1938.
That's true, but I have to give Roosevelt credit. He did not pursue court packing after his drubbing in
mm-hmm.
1938. He gave it up and went on to other things. And then he kind of got lucky. He said he wasn't going to run for a third term, but then the war issue came
mm-hmm.
up, and he was able to exploit that to his advantage. And Obama, I don't think, has that political skill.
Yeah. I don't. He's good, but I don't think he's that good. So...
Right.
We'll see how it goes, folks. This week, I mean, like the end of this week, we'll know, I think, what President Obama is planning on doing about this. And I'm worried about the future of the next two years in Washington because of that behavior.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.